Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 1st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Brock Bates. Brock and his wife Kirby and their two beautiful children call Mountain Brook Baptist home. And at the end of the podcast, Brock and I will discuss matters of life and faith. But first, he'll read God's word for us. Thank you, Brock, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Our first passage is Genesis 15, and we'll be reading from the New International Version. The Lord's covenant with Abram. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I am childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite of each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun has set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants, I give you this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. The land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Cadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Our second passage is Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your younger men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You're a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high.
Thank you so much, Brock, for joining the podcast and for reading for us today. I know that you grew up at Mountain Brook Baptist. I want to start strong. What are some of your favorite things about growing up in Mountain Brook and about the church?
Well, thank you for having me, Mary. This has been great. A few things that I enjoyed about growing up in Mountain Brook and at the church is just the community feel, very tight-knit, especially here at the church. I've had so many people kind of pour into me since I was a kid going through Sunday school here and in the youth group when you and Wayne came when I think maybe I was in ninth grade or so. And it's so great having so many people that I grew up with here that are now members here also and kind of share that community.
Now, your family, your extended family, y'all like have three pews.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people. So tell me about all the generations.
So my mom and dad, Billy and Tasha, are normally the first ones in the sanctuary, and they save the pews. And then both my sisters, Brooke and Allie, are members here as well. And they've each got two kids that are now of age where they're in big church with us. And then pretty soon the pew's going to get bigger when my three-year-old Alice and Brooke's three-year-old Casey get sent up. So we might have to get another pew to fit everybody.
I love that. And your wife, Kirby, tell us about her.
So Kirby is from Albany, Georgia, grew up there, and we met at Alabama and actually got set up for a date party by Jack and Catherine Brown, who were Kirby and Catherine were best friends in college, and Jack and I have known each other since as long as I can remember. And so they set us up, and that was in 2013, and we got married in June of 2021, and
Two beautiful children.
Yes, Alice and Billy. And Alice just turned three, and Billy is about to be 10 months old. So Alice is a firecracker. She is a funny little girl, doesn't meet a stranger, and she loves to sing and dance, and then she'll go out to the golf course with me, and she'll try just about anything, and it's so much fun to be around.
And then Billy?
Billy has been a very sweet baby. He loves to smile and laugh and loves when Alice will give him the time of day to play. And loves to be involved with everyone. And he's been a lot of fun so far.
How did you and Kirby decide to make Mountain Brook Baptist your home church?
So when Kirby moved here right after college, and, you know, Mountain Brook Baptist has basically been like a home for me. So it was easy for me, but even just seeing how much Kirby enjoyed it just made it really easy where, you know, we didn't even really want to look around because we just felt like it was home here.
In the last couple of years, you guys have been very involved in a Sunday morning Bible study class.
Yes, we are in the Rooted Sunday School class taught by David and Jan Earhart, and that has been a godsend for us. We have loved it. There's so many people we've gotten to know that are in the same or similar stages of life right now with young kids and just kind of the chaos that ensues there. And David and Jan have done such a great job of not only teaching us, but also kind of helping us shepherd our children and kind of how we can best set them up to be followers of Jesus.
What are some of the things you're studying currently?
So right now we have been on a long journey about wisdom, and it has been fantastic series. We've been in Proverbs and just every aspect of, you know, how important wisdom is and how it can shape every aspect of your life and how passing that wisdom on to your children is so critical.
What are some of the tools that David uses or some of the leaders that he encourages you to listen to?
So every week he sends us a Tim Keller sermon that's going to be on topic for what we'll be talking about that Sunday. And they also gave everyone one of Tim Keller's Wisdom Daily Devotionals that has been so important in my life. And it's just been a great way to either start or end my day. And it's on, you know, a variety of different topics that's just so applicable.
What are some of the things that you enjoy doing in your free time? I know you don't have much right now.
But. Yes, but I love playing golf. I've been playing golf probably since I was about five or six. And so I just love going out there and playing. And now Alice is old enough where I'll take her out there, and she's got a little plastic golf club where, you know, we might only play two or three holes before we go and look for turtles or birds or something. But I've been telling her that you've got to be quiet while people are hitting. And so when it's her turn to hit, she puts her tee and puts the ball on the tee. And then she looks at me and just starts shushing me and says, "Daddy, I hit. You got to be quiet. Shh. Shh.
She knows.
Shh." Yes. And so that always cracks me up because at least I know she's listening. But just seeing her put her finger over her mouth and say, "Shh, I hitting." It always makes me laugh. It's fun seeing her have as much fun out there as I do.
Now, liking golf and being good at it must be a generational thing in your family, because I've heard through the grapevine that you and your dad and your granddad have won a tournament called the Three Generations Tournament.
Yes, and we have played in it for about 7 years now, and my grandfather is 92 years old, and that is, we call it, it's his major every year. He gets so excited. It's just a little 9-hole scramble, but we have so much fun, and it's a great way to get him out, and he loves it so much, and so does my dad and I, and it's a lot of fun.
And did you win?
Yeah, we won it, I think, 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the prize?
Well, we all have a crystal trophy now, and that was our goal, for each of us to have one. So we've all got one at our houses now.
Could I see a picture of you all holding the crystal trophy that we could put on Instagram?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I see in you, Brock, a strength in your personality that you're just so easy to talk to. How do you use that strength day in and day out?
With what I do for work, I do commercial sales at Hinkle Roofing. And so on the work side, being in sales, it's a great talent to have. But even just like everyday life, just meeting new people, kind of make it feel like you never meet a stranger. It's been very helpful.
That is important at church as well.
Yes. Yes. And especially being in a new Sunday school class, it's made it easy just for us to make new friends and just have people we can rely on, like I said earlier, that are in similar stages where, hey, you know, what do we do when our kid does this or something like that?
Do you have any hidden talents?
I would say I'm pretty good at trivia.
Okay.
I've been told that I have a large library of random facts in my head, but with history and geography, I was always very good at geography growing up, and history, and then just some random facts that just for some reason stick in my brain.
How did you get good at geography?
I don't know. I remember in like third grade, we had a state capital quiz, and I was so excited for it, maybe it was just because I knew them all. Oh. And I knew I'd do good on them, but I don't know. It's something that's always fascinating.
Okay, this could be fun. What's the capital of New Mexico?
Santa Fe.
What's the capital of Ohio?
Columbus.
I cannot get you. What about Maine?
Augusta.
Oh, good one. Okay, this is impressive. Let's move now into talking about your life of faith. How did you come to know Christ as Lord, and what has your journey been like with him?
Mountain Brook Baptist has played such a big role in that through the countless Sunday school teachers that I grew up with that made it a priority to pour into me what it means to be a Christian, to accept Jesus. It's been so important. And same with my parents. They always making Jesus a priority in our life was critical for me coming to that decision.
A follow-up question there would be, what is one time that you've sensed Christ's nearness in the midst of difficulty?
So when I was at Alabama, the end of my freshman year was 2011, and we were in Tuscaloosa when the tornado came through and hit. And seeing everybody, it seemed like on campus, was eager to get out and help everyone and anyone who was affected, it just really showed Christ working through everyone to help those that you don't know who they are. And just to get out, and you know, we spent so much time during the summer going down there and clearing trees and passing out food and just trying to do whatever we can to help anyone we could. And just felt like Christ was working through so many people there when, you know, a lot of times this year, summer after your freshman year, you want to be doing anything but that. But it seemed like everybody was out there just wanting to help.
That time of trauma or suffering brought you together, it seems. Yeah. Describe that day to me.
I was in the Ridgecrest South dorm, and actually my oldest sister, Brooke, was at the law school at the time. And the 5 weeks before we had had tornado drills in the dorms. And, you know, we'd all roll our eyes and say, oh, we got to go downstairs. And we know, like, this time it felt different. And we were watching the news and, you know, there might be a tornado coming. And we, some friends and I actually went out on the parking deck and be like, well, let's see what it looks like outside. And we saw it barreling through downtown. And we kind of realized the severity of the situation and went back inside. And I know it was tough for my parents because when that went through, the, you know, there was no cell phone service, so they didn't know if my sister and I were okay or anything like that. And you know, obviously, we both turned out to be okay, but it was just it was a very scary situation. But seeing the reaction after kind of maybe brought some good from it.
As we read the passages, did anything stick out to you, a word or maybe a thought?
The Genesis 15 passage, just really what stuck out to me was about the patience of God's plan. And while you may want something so desperately, you know, it's not on your time. It's always on His time. And that's, especially with my stage of life right now, patience has been a big part of that. And so just understanding that while we want something to be on our time, it's always going to be on His, and you know, you've got to be obedient and accept that.
Is there a verse or a book of the Bible that anchors you in your faith?
In relation to our Sunday school classes, being so much in the book of Proverbs, just so much everyday wisdom there on just so many topics that if you know, if you are trying to figure out, you know, how do I steward my finances, or how do I speak correctly to people? There's a section or a passage in Proverbs that'll speak on all of that. I've been relying on the book of Proverbs a lot.
Thank you, Brock, for reading for the podcast and for listening alongside on the podcast. Would you end our time together in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Lord, thank you so much for our time together today, and thank you for Mary and Project 119 podcast. Just such a great tool for everyone to get to listen to your word. I hope that you be with everyone listening and just strengthen them so they can be encouraged by what you're doing in everyone's lives. We love you and thank you for everything you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.